From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Paris Halston. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where a major new report from the United Nations is warning us about the dire effects of climate change for the future and the present. To talk about what this means for New England and Massachusetts, we're joined now by WBUR environmental editor Barbara Moran. Hey, Barb, thanks for being with us today. I know you were up super early reporting on this.
Yes, we did get the report out yesterday, but the official press conference was at 4 a.m. this morning, which was 10 a.m. in Geneva. So yes, I've been up since like 3:30.
Oh my goodness. Well, we appreciate you being here. So tell us more about this report.
So the IPCC is the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. And this report, what they do is summarize the latest scientific consensus on climate change. The last time they did this was in 2013. This report took 3 years. They reviewed more than 14,000 studies. The big takeaway from it, report author Bob Kopp of Rutgers says that projected sea level rise for the next few decades is largely irreversible.
Regardless of how quickly we get our emissions down, we're likely looking at about 15 to 30 centimeters or about 6 to 12 inches of global average sea level rise through the middle of the century.
So what he's saying there is we're looking at a global average by 2050 of about 6 to 12 inches of sea level rise. There's going to be a lot of regional differences there. So far, the sea level around Boston has been rising faster than other places.
We've been feeling the effects of climate change for some time now, but have things been moving faster than anticipated?
Yeah, that was one of the things that came out in the report, is that climate change is happening a lot quicker than we expected, and they think it's going to get a lot worse in the 2030s. And the key thing is that we really need to sharply reduce carbon emissions by the end of this decade if we want to try to stabilize the climate at something that's kind of manageable. This morning, I spoke with Baylor Fox Kemper. He's from Brown University, and he was one of the authors on the report.
We're seeing problems now, and we're at just over 1 degree. When we get to 1.5, those will be worse. When we get to 2, those will be worse still. And so the carbon just keeps adding up to higher and higher levels with greater and greater impact.
So let's talk about the Boston area. As you mentioned, sea level rise is a big threat for us. What does this report say about that?
So the report doesn't talk about Boston specifically, but we're looking at sort of globally 9 to 11 inches by 2050, and Boston could see more than that. So we really need to prepare. So back to Fox Kemper, who we talked to before, he grew up in Virginia and now lives in Rhode Island. He says the Northeast will be faced with a really challenging adaptation process when it comes to the rise in sea level.
It will impact our region in a big way, and it will have a lot to deal with as we go. And unfortunately, some part of that is whether or not we're able to reduce emissions globally. We're just in for a difficult time.
So are we able to do that, and are we ready to?
Well, there's two parts to this question. So in Boston, we need to accept that the sea level is rising faster and faster, and we are going to need to adapt our coast to deal with that. We have a lot of people who live on the coast. We have a lot of expensive real estate and businesses on the coast. And the other part of that question is, can we bring down emissions? And that is, you know, kind of a local question, but it's really a global question. And I spoke to Peter Frumhoff with the Union of Concerned Scientists about this. He was an author on a previous IPCC report.
When you look at what happens if we're actually on the pathway that we're currently on, which would take us to 3 degrees or more Celsius warming above pre-industrial levels, you know, that's a world that is rapidly becoming uninhabitable.
So that sounds pretty bad. Okay, but before we panic, he also said that we still have time. We can still avoid the very worst case scenario.
So there's a tremendous kind of shoulder to the wheel urgency that this report brings into sharp focus. Time is rapidly running out, and this report puts that into stark relief.
And how else might we see that stark relief play out in New England?
Well, yeah, so sea level rise is the most obvious around here because we're a coastal city, but there's a couple other big impacts we're seeing. One is heat waves, like the one we had this summer in Boston. They're already 5 times more likely globally, and cities tend to get hotter, so what we saw this summer is really just the tip of the iceberg for that. And one term that I saw that came up in this report was whiplash weather, meaning we go back between extremes much more quickly than we're used to. So, you know, in New England, we're used to the weather changing rapidly, but, you know, like look at this June. It was like the hottest June on record, followed by the wettest July on record. And we're still going to see a lot more back and forth whiplash weather like that.
Well, let's hope we can make a move on it soon. That's WBUR environmental editor Barbara Moran. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Paris.
Before we go, I should tell you what else is up. As the state continues its vaccination efforts, New Bedford has decided to give city employees a choice of either getting vaccinated or being tested regularly for COVID-19. New Bedford Mayor John Mitchell says the city went from a single case to 63 in a matter of weeks and felt more action was needed.
We've done a lot to get vaccines out there and to make them accessible through all sorts of incentives and by running clinics all across the city. But I believe we need to do more.
The rule will not apply to employees of New Bedford Public Schools or the Port Authority until there's an agreement with their unions. Governor Charlie Baker has said he won't require state workers to get the shots, but other cities and towns, including Boston and Somerville, are also thinking about a vaccine requirement. On Beacon Hill, at least three state agencies, the auditors, treasurers, and attorney general's offices, have said they will require employees to be vaccinated as well. In other news, St. Vincent Hospital in Worcester is moving to permanently replace hundreds of nurses who went on strike in March over disagreements on staffing levels. Tenet Healthcare says it has already added 100 nurses, and this week will post listings for hundreds more. But nurse Dominique Muldoon says her union is not giving up because Tenet's last offer doesn't meet their staffing demands. She says that before the strike,
nurses in our hospital were going home every night pretty much crying in their cars, trying to overcompensate to take care of the patients we have. The workload was too much.
St. Vincent CEO Carolyn Jackson says their final offer includes pay raises and lowers the patient-to-nurse ratio for many units. And finally, it's not even Halloween yet, but the Salem witch trials are back in the news. State Senator Diana DeZoglio has filed a bill to clear Elizabeth Johnson Jr.'s record. Jr. was part of a small group convicted of witchcraft during the witch trials in the 1690s, but never executed. Senator DeZoglio says she learned about Jr. when North Andover Middle School students asked her to clear the woman's name.
I do think that it's important when you have especially a group of young citizens of the Commonwealth who are passionate about righting the wrongs of the past, that we take any step we can to try to assist them in their efforts.
DeZoglio speculates that because Johnson, quote, was neither a wife or a mother, she was not considered worthy of having her name cleared. Whew! Well, thank goodness times have changed. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo since young people learning their history and then taking action on it. I'm Paris Alston. Be well. Hey there! A lot of people listen to Consider This at the end of the day, and NPR's Up First in the morning. But a lot of the actual news happens in the middle of the day. And the team bringing the best information about that news as it happens is the team behind WBUR and NPR's show Here and Now. And yes, there is a podcast version. So want more of the best news reporting from public radio and around the country? Check out Here and Now. Find it in the same place you found this podcast, wherever you listen. Just search Here and Now.